Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront is celebrating Black Music Month with my one-on-one conversation with music legend Philip Bailey. The Earth, Wind & Fire icon is back with a brand new jazz album and talked exclusively to us about the new project and more. WCLK's Jamal Ahmed is here to chat about his Georgia Radio Hall of Fame nomination and his upcoming documentary, Stepping Into Tomorrow. I'll also be playing music from the Empress of Soul, Gladys Knight, who celebrated her 75th birthday this week. But first, here's Reva Blue with this week's casting buzz and entertainment news.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
CL Casting is looking for African-American men and women over the age of 18 to portray neighbors for the upcoming HBO project Lovecraft Country. This film is set in the 1950s and actors cannot have shaved heads or harsh fades. The actresses cannot have braids or hair pieces. Everyone must wear their natural hair and color. The men must also be clean-shaven or willing to shave. Shooting dates are June 6th, 10th, 11th, 13th, 14th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st, and 25th. If this is you, please send three current photos of head, body, and selfie, along with age, height, weight, and contact information to rlcasting@roselockcasting.com. In other related entertainment news, watch the new season 3 trailer for the hit series Claws. The show returns to TNT next Sunday, June 9th. Claws follows the rise of five diverse and treacherous manicurists working at the Nail Artisan of Manatee County Salon, where there is a lot more going on than silk wraps and pedicures. It's a show about good women caught in bad places with the worst men. It also tells the story of hard-working women trying to get by in this economy, set against the surreal, bright, gritty landscape of Florida and the luscious, absurd, extreme excess of the crime world. Claw stars Niecy Nash, Jen Lyon, Judy Reyes, Karrueche Tran, and Georgia's own Carrie Preston. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Reva Blue.
This is Dr. Adrian Douglas. I'll be your host for Drive Time with Dr. Douglas, a new health talk show heard exclusively on Jazz 91.9 WCLK the first Wednesday of each month at 6 p.m. Co-host Paula Gwen Grant and I will be joined by guest experts to talk about the health issues that matter most to you. We'll take your calls and questions live. That's Drive Time with Dr. Douglas, first Wednesdays at 6 p.m. on Jazz 91.9 WCLK and on demand at WCLK.com, presented by MDVI.
Good morning, heartache, you old gloomy sight. Good morning, heartache, thought we said goodbye last night. I tossed and turned until it seemed you had gone. But here you are.
Hi, this is Melissa Ingram, General Manager of Aspire TV, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
My very first guest is WCLK's very own Jamal Ahmed. The host of The Soul of Jazz is one of many Atlanta media personalities nominated for the Georgia Radio Hall of Fame Award. The award honors Georgia radio professionals as well as pioneers who shape radio in the state. It is also dedicated to the preservation of written and oral Georgia radio history. Jamal stopped by this week to chat about his nomination as well as his new film and much more.
Jamal Ahmed, welcome back to Upfront. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, Ray? Mr. Cornelius.
Good to have you back on the show. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has, man. It's been a while, even though I see you every day.
Every day. But haven't had you on the show.
Yes,
congratulations
sir.
Are in order. A good number of media personalities are up for awards this year for the Georgia Radio Hall of Fame. And
right.
You just so happen to be one of them.
Yes,
and,
I got a nomination.
So where were you? What was going on when you found out that you were being nominated this year?
I was actually here. I was actually here at WCLK and got the email right before I left work one day. And it was just a shock. It was a big shock. It was an honor, of course. And I think what's shocking more than anything, Ray, is when you look at that list of just incredible legends in radio— that I'm one of the few people representing public radio, let alone a jazz station. So I'm in a field with a lot of big wigs. So I'm very honored that I could represent WCLK, because we've produced a lot of great people here, you know, and sometimes people forget that. So it's good that an organization like the Georgia Radio Hall of Fame can acknowledge someone from here. And hopefully I'm just the first.
Yeah. And it also includes Dr. William. Gay.
Bill Gay, yeah. Who used to come on Saturdays with Heart and Soul. He used to come on right before me from 12 to 3. And he was a guy that would play a lot of the classic soul and R&B, but a true legend. So kudos to you, Brother Bill, for that as well, sir.
Yeah. Now, did you ever imagine this for yourself when you started 25 years ago?
Never.
That you would, yeah?
Never, Ray. You know, this is all fun for me. You know, this is my job. But what I do in radio is pretty much a reflection of my passion for music. You know, and that's another thing, too. When you look at the list of people who are being nominated, I'm one of the few people on that list that literally deals with music from a passionate perspective. You know, some people work for commercial radio stations that play music, but they're just, you know, talking heads more or less. But here we have to know what we're playing, because people have to believe you in public radio to give you their money. Yeah. So people have to believe you. And so that's what I've committed myself to for all these years is believing in the music. And it's funny, Ray, because when I came here as a junior at Morehouse, I came here to start a hip hop show. And they were like, nah, bruh, not here. And they said, we were doing this acid jazz show. And I said, oh, I love that stuff. And it just sent me down this rabbit hole.
Yeah. And that's how you kind of got connected with Ken Beatty, right?
Yeah. I was a fan. I was a fan of Ken Beatty and Ken Rye. Big up to Ken Rye. I was listening to them when I would leave to go to class and when I would come home from class. So I always said I wanted to work with those guys. And, you know, God made it so that he would become my mentor. They would become my mentors.
Yeah. You know? Now, music has always sort of been a constant in your life, in a sense. And part of that is due to your late mother, Dr. Ruby Byrd. Can we talk about her influence and how her love for music and some other things about her that probably fans don't know about you, how that all helped shape Jamal Ahmed?
You know, it's so interesting, Ray, because I was just talking to my daughter, who's 6 years old. And she's a mirrored image of my mom, just her incarnate, really. And one thing I was telling Jenna was to stay soulful. I was like, I saw her dancing, and I said, you keep that up, girl. You keep that up. And my mom was that soulful person. You know, we came up in a different home because my parents were Muslim. So there wasn't a lot of music, but my mom said, oh, no, I'm going to play my music. Now, you're not going to stop me from playing my music. So, you know, I remember hearing Evelyn Champagne King and Chaka Khan and Nina Simone. And even when I got into high school, my mom was the one like, hey, you heard a guy? Have you heard this group? You know, have you heard this
yeah.
group guy?
Yeah.
You know about this dude, I'll Be Sure? And I was like, that's, whoa. You know, that was my mom at 40-something years old, hipping her teenage kids to music. So my mom was that person. And she also ran her own record label. She started her own record label. She did a lot in education, but on the side, she started a boutique label and garnered a lot of respect from major, major black executives like Clarence Avant, who's got a film about to come out on Netflix.
Yeah.
So, you know, my mom is everything when it comes to me, of course, but when it comes to music and soul, she started it all for me.
Now, speaking of film, you're currently working on a film, which I think we may have mentioned last time. We kind of briefly mentioned it the last time you were here. But you've been working on this for, like, what, the last 6 years now?
Oh, yeah. It's been a long time, Ray. And, you know, we're all stepping out and trying new endeavors in film. So this is a new endeavor for me because I've dealt with sound and the mind. And now this is all about the theater of real film. And so what's really interesting, Ray, is Jason Orr and I, who have been working on this film, Stepping Into Tomorrow, which is a documentary addressing jazz post-1960 and how it's influenced everything after it. And we've got about 35 interviews. We need about 4 more interviews to finish it. But I've learned a lot in this process, and it's not an easy process. And you want to tell the story right. Because we've got a lot of legends on here, so we can't let them down. You don't want them to be part of something cheesy. And of course, we want people to walk away feeling like they were empowered. That's the main reason for this film, because knowledge is power. So yes, we, God willing, knocking on this table, right, we'll be done at the end of this year, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's talk some more about music. Of course, the Dangerfield Newbies. I'm sure you guys have some new stuff coming out. I know you guys released, the last release was Sensitivity.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And the album Culture Dawn, which really did a lot for us, Ray. I mean, we got loving the UK. Jazz FM, which is the biggest jazz station in the world, had us as A-listers. We got love in Australia, Japan, all of Europe, Africa, Brazil. It was crazy. And what was even crazier, Ray, were we started seeing peers, you know, peers that we respect support us, like Questlove picked up Sensitivity and loved it and started playing in his sets and started showing us love. So that right there just kind of gave me more affirmations to continue to do this. So we've got new music coming this summer, some remixes coming. I'm working on different projects. I'm actually executive producing some records, going to be working with Taj Abdul-Samad from The Boys, who sang Sensitivity.
Yeah, yeah.
Who has some brilliant new music. It's very modern, African, Caribbean, very soulful, pop as well. So we're going to be working on some things. And I'm working with a lot of different artists. So it's a lot of new music that'll be coming out this year and next year.
All right. Mm-hmm. You just heard Jamal Ahmed, the announcer for the Soul of Jazz here at 91.9 WCLK, as well as a nominee for the Georgia Radio Hall of Fame. And that's going to be voting is taking place now through July. Mm-hmm. And you'll be able to get more information about that at WCLK.com. Good luck on that.
Thank you, Ray. And, you know, I'm going to shout you out in my acceptance speech if I do win, brother. I promise.
Right. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Jamal. Check out my full conversation with him at WCLK.com, where he also discusses the future of jazz and his top five albums of all time.
If you have an unwanted car, truck, or other vehicle taking up space in your driveway or garage, Jazz 91.9 WCLK can help. Donate your car and support the station you love at the same time. Your old car will be picked up and you will be given a tax receipt for your records. Just call 888-448-3925 to see if your vehicle qualifies. Or visit WCLK.com and click on the Donate Your Old Car link. That's 888-448-3925. And thanks for your support.
Hi, this is Ayoka Chenzira, filmmaker, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
You just heard the voice of Earth, Wind & Fire star Philip Bailey with his latest single, Billy Jack. The remake of the Curtis Mayfield classic appears on the new jazz album, Love Will Find a Way, and features collaborations with some of today's biggest names, including Robert Glasper, Kamasi Washington, and Christian Scott Atunde. I caught up with the music icon while he was in between rehearsals in New York City. Wow, Mr. Philip Bailey, welcome to Upfront. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine. How are you today?
I am so excited to be talking to you. You are, I'm geeked here because, you know, I don't get to talk to that many living legends, but I'm really excited about this morning. You have a brand new project coming out, Love Will Find a Way. That is going to be hitting record stores. You'll be able to get it online coming June 21st, and super excited to have you here for Black Music Month. We're kicking off Black Music Month, which of course is June, and just really excited to be talking to you about this new project. And before we go into that, I want to take you kind of all the way back, since we are celebrating Black Music Month, and I want to go back to your very first Earth, Wind, and Fire concert. Do you remember that? Can we talk about that experience and what that was like being a part of this now iconic group, but when you guys started, not really kind of knowing that it was going to be, I guess, as huge and as big as you guys are in music?
Well, we actually started doing colleges first. We started doing colleges first, and then we were doing just whatever gigs we could do. We were we actually played Patrice Rushen, you know, the jazz pianist and arranger for Keith Russian.
Yes.
That was one of our first gigs.
Wow.
And we met Patrice then because she was a young little young star. And but it was one of those kinds of things that, man, we would have played at your church, bar mitzvah, whatever. we would play wherever. We were just trying to just get in front of some people.
Yeah, wow. So you've got this new project, which is now sort of you're joining forces with some of the newer faces in jazz, Robert Glasper, you've got Christian Scott, Kamasi Washington. Let's talk about the inspiration behind Love Will Find a Way, because you sort of got some inspiration from listening to a Robert Glasper song, correct?
Well, I know. I kind of got the inspiration from the social and political, challenges that we've been facing for a while now, and with listening to songs that help people through the turbulent '60s, the Curtis Mayfield of the world and Marvin Gaye and the Abby Lincoln songs, that have such great lyrics. And, I had a relationship with Chick Corea and Christian McBride. And we started there first. We recorded in Florida with Chick, and then in New York City with Christian McBride. And that was a lot of fun. And we went to see Robert Glasper in Los Angeles at the Fonda Center because I wanted to work with him based on all the music that I was listening to that he had done, especially that he did that retake on the Miles Davis thing that I thought was fabulous. And so I met him, and we agreed to get together and work together. And so we worked here in Brooklyn. I'm in Brooklyn now rehearsing with the band. And many of the guys I actually met through the whole band actually is a connection through Robert Glasper here in Brooklyn. And we recorded here, not far from where I am now. And one thing led to the other, Kamasi Washington. Actually, I went to see him in New Orleans when we did the jazz festival, a couple years ago now. And Kamasi introduced his father, who he says, taught him, most of what he knows. Unbeknownst to me, they say Ricky Washington. Ricky Washington was the saxophone player in the church choir, in the church band that I played in at Maranatha, in Los Angeles. And I'm like, Ricky, I know Ricky. So, surprisingly, Ricky is Kamasi's father. And I had gone there to see if Kamasi would work with me, so the rest was history. We got a chance to work with Christian Scott. And we got a chance to work with Christian Scott and Belial's on the record. And Casey Benjamin, he was working with Robert Glasper on his experiment project. So, everything just kind of came together organically. And it was a self-funded project. And we did everything and mixed everything. Russell Elevato mixed it and Harvey Mason Jr. Produced my vocals, and I just went all out on it, because I wanted to, we've done a lot of music in our career, but I wanted to do a record that I would be excited about. And sure enough, my son Philip, my daughter Trinity, and my social networking and art director Tashawn Dawson. They are really responsible for the blueprint of the project and have just walked it down with me from start to finish.
And so it's been 17 years since you released your last jazz album. Like, so we're kind of like, what's taking so long? You know, we were really excited that you kind of released this new jazz album. So what can I ask you, I guess, have you learned as a musician from that last album up until this album?
Well, you know, I'm a old school and came up in the time when record companies, you know, the whole record business was totally different than it is now. I mean, totally, you know, I came up in a time where, you know, radio drove everything and record companies were a one-shop situation. They had everything available to you that you would need in the way of marketing, advertising, and promotion that's not the biz no more. So it's kind of like a record company within a record company. I kind of learned to be a record company with my crew of people that I'm working with, and then we partnered with a record company, you know, to just enlarge our base. But for the most part, I've learned that you've got to be self. You got to definitely be self resourceful these days.
Wow. Now, you all have released Billy Jack, and that features Robert Glasper. And then I also saw on YouTube that you guys have released Once in a Lifetime. Can you take us to one of those sessions and talk about what it was like just kind of working with these guys? I know once you got connected and once you said, okay, we're going to do this album, what were the sessions like working with them?
Well, Robert sent me an MP3 of the idea for We're Winner and for the idea for Billy Jack. And, you know, he took this, you know, this West African kind of lick for Billy Jack. And, you know, I play the kalimba with Earth, Wind, and Fire, and on my solo thing. So I wanted to make sure that I got the kalimba in there. And, you know, I'm a percussionist and play, you know. So I wanted to make sure that it reflects the instruments that I play. And we were able to do that. The musician on the record, it was so special because, you know, it was kind of like me coming into a band because we, you know, with Steve Gadd and the Chick group, they were recording their project, and I just went in for a few days to recorded the songs that, you know, that for this project, and then I came in here to Brooklyn and just went into a self-made, ready-made band, you know, that people that were working with Robert Glasper, because they were recording this stuff.
Okay.
So it was kind of, you know, the wheels were already, you know, oiled up and the whole thing. And, you know, I had to hit the ground, you know, running.
Wow. Let's talk about your foundation, Music is Unity. This was something that you started back in 2007, and then you partnered with an advocacy organization, Foster Youth in Action, in 2008. And basically, you guys develop ways to sort of transition foster youth into adulthood. And we're kind of coming off of the heels of National Foster Care Month, which was in May. So let's talk a little bit about your organization.
Well, like you said, the project is the foundation has been in existence now for over 10 years. A portion of our Winning Fire proceeds and my proceeds as a soloist go toward MIU, Music is Unity. And what we do is we get money to fund organizations who are helping young folks transition and helping them, giving them support, just the basic things, you know, like, you know, I'm a grandfather, 7 and 7. I have 7 children and 7 grandchildren.
Wow.
and, you know, I can't believe, you know, you can't imagine, you know, yourself trying to navigate through life with no village, no support, and no one to turn to. And there are, you know, millions of young folks who are in that situation by no fault of their own. You know, they didn't have to come here. They didn't have to be in these situations. And because they're not physically, they don't look physically challenged or whatever, it's a very under-promoted and underserved community. So many times these folks fall between the cracks of life, you know, and in all kind of different, you know, things, you know, just trying to, you know, just trying to survive. So it's a cause that is dear to our hearts, and we do a thing that we call our Backstage Contact Program, which we invite about 20 youth to come and be introduced to the different many facets of our touring industry, in hopes that if anyone has any aspirations in those professions, that this could be kind of like a stepping stone.
Wow. Well, Mr. Philip Bailey, thank you so much for being a guest today on Upfront. And much success to you on this new album, Love Will Find a Way. Totally love what you're doing with this next generation of jazz artists, and looking forward to this album doing some amazing things. Thank you so much for your time, and again, much success for you the rest of 2019.
Thanks. You can go to any of my platforms, Philip Bailey EWF, and see where we're doing, where we are, and join us out there having fun.
All right. Have a good one, okay?
All right.
Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot.
Uh-huh.
Okay, bye-bye.
5 5 5 5 4 4 4 3 3 3 3 2 2 2 1 1 1 1 1 1 1.
Well, that'll do it for this week in show. I'd also like to thank my special guests, Philip Bailey and Jamal Ahmed. I'd also like to thank my engineer, Jami Wellman, and the voice of Casting Buzz, Reva Blue. Please join us next Saturday, June 8th, for another exciting edition of Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry. Happy Saturday, Atlanta.
If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.